Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Lady Fiona, the 8th Countess of Carnarvon. She and her husband, the 8th Earl of Carnarvon, live in one of Britain's most iconic stately homes, Highclere Castle. Her latest book, A Year at Highclere Castle, shares secrets and stories from the real Downton Abbey. Welcome to the show, Lady Fiona.
You're very kind to ask me on. Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's really lovely to have you with us. So how long have you been living in Highclere Castle?
Well, Geordie and I took it over after his pa died. So he died in 2001. And really a couple of years later, we sort of got our knees under the table, so to speak, to try to get going with wondering what it would be like to steward a castle and the gardens and the whole heritage property, which encompasses more than the house. And do you know what role it was going to play in today's world? How to make people love it, how to make sense of it, because they were built for a different era.
Yes, it must be an amazing place to be. I mean, we see part of it on the television, but to actually live there, I mean, it's quite a project, I guess, to take on the huge grounds and all the rooms in the property. I mean, how do you do it?
Well, I think you have to be happy to live the life imperfect. So that's fine. And then just stop at the end of the day and enjoy what you've done today and just try and do your best. But there's always, you know, today we were cleaning out gutters, actually, which was jolly helpful because it rained really hard last night. But I didn't actually know what a hopper was, just to be honest, before I started living here. Now, hoppers are some of my best friends in the winter. So, I'm now interested in who makes cast iron gutters. So yesterday I was at a conference looking for who might make a new cast iron gutter. So the whole thing is fascinating. These Highclere's been there since, there's been a home here since 749 AD. So that sense of antiquity and the sense of continuity, I think I find really important in what is a very brittle, fast-changing world. And I look to it for what the values are that we should hold going forward. So in terms of value and culture and a heritage you can touch, I think it's really important. So I suppose that's at the heart of all that I do every day.
Yeah. And you've written many other books in the past about the property and its history. I know you're really fascinated looking back in the history of the different people who've lived there over the years. You must have learned an awful lot and come across some fascinating characters.
I did, and I really enjoyed it. And I just thought, you know, with the grand finale concluded, at least this element of Downton, I mean, it was quite fun to share the stories. Everyone asked me, what's it like to live with a film crew? Are there any ghosts? What's Christmas like? You know, and some of the nature and nurture, farming, looking after the trees and the land around us, because that, I think, should be at the forefront of all of us living today, how we can best look after the world we live in so we have a world to hand on. So some of the chapters are slightly more serious, and I put it round a year because, you know, it's a very seasonal place to live in. I'm, you know, very, very conscious that it's quite cold today and raincoats needed. And I think the seasonality helps us live better too. It helps us all live each year. We are connected and part of nature. We're not above it, despite all the cities we've built. So I wanted to use that structure and then try to, you know, talk about in chapter four, I tell tales of all my dogs. So the tales of different ways of spelling, but, you know, dogs for all of us play such an important part of our lives. So the book was a way of having a little bit of fun and chatting to anybody who would choose to read it.
Yeah. And do you have a favorite season to be at Highclere? One that's particularly special for whatever reason?
Well, I think like many other people in this country, in England, you think, oh, my God, November is so grey. And yet now we're setting for Christmas and it's so exciting. We're all quite excited again, enthusiastic. And, you know, we've got about 24 trees lining the main drive and they've got little lights on and they're so cute. And you think, wow, and you wouldn't see them if it wasn't dark. So you have to kind of pick yourself up. I have to say, as I get ever older, I really do like the sunshine and all the smells and scents of summer. And on the other hand, I also like spring, and we've had the most amazing autumn. So the answer is every day that I'm given is a good day.
Oh, that's nice. And I remember various scenes in Downton. The property does look so spectacular. We're like, I mean, it makes a difference wherever you are in the world. But when you've got the blue skies, the bright green grass and the colour of the castle against that blue sky, I mean, it is magical.
Well, I think it is. And I think these properties, these houses, these homes are meant to be shared. So it's been amazing sharing it on Downton Abbey. And I think you can't really take a bad photograph of it. And even when it's grey and it goes misty and you can hardly see it, it's still exciting. And I think, again, in today's world, it's been a wonderful series. Downton Abbey's been a wonderful series. And I wrote a chapter about it being filmed here, because it's been a still point during times like COVID. And many people watched and rewatched it. And it's remarkably, I don't know, reassuring, I suppose. And there's a courtesy and a relevance in the past, which I think helps us live today. So I'm really conscious that I always want to hold that together. And the, you know, people email me saying it's my dream to come to Downton. So I sometimes feel really nervous, or I go and do a book talk and someone says, I've been to Highclere, I visited last year. I'm thinking, oh my God. And I can't say, did you? I had a lovely time. I mean, oh, thank God. So it's all fine. Yes. But, you know, all the staff here are great because it is about making people feel welcome and making people feel happy. So,
yes. So yeah, how did Downton come about being filmed at Highclere? Because the whole thing with the films and the series, it's been going on many years now.
Well, my parents-in-law never lived in the castle. They lived in another house. When they opened it, they were a little bit older. And so when Geordie and I started off, I thought sometimes it'd be fun to live and share the castle. And it would actually give me much more of an insight. And we're obviously been open to the public since 1988 at different times of year. And now much more through the year. And I decided then to make sure we could actually have a few friends to stay, experimented with my sisters. And one part of what I write about is, how do you decorate a castle? Oh, my goodness. And with a lot of laughter and then panic and the guests who come. And one of the people I asked was Julian Ember Fellowes. You know, he'd written Gosford Park. He thought about bringing that here. I would only have had Maggie Smith complaining about the marmalade, not homemade. So luckily, we didn't get it. And I think because he'd stayed here, it's my soft marketing. And again, that matters so much to me. It's about, you know, wine, food, conversation, kindness, being there, what it makes us to be human. So again, I'm really happy that I think that's why we got Downton Abbey. They thought they went to Recce's first of all. Julian said he wrote it with Highclere in mind, but they then Recce'd another 400 houses. And obviously I wasn't sure we'd get it, and nor could I possibly have envisaged that anybody would watch it, and particularly on the scale they have. So it's been an amazing journey, and I'm really grateful that we've been part of it. So
yes. And how often are you around when the film crews are in? Is it the kind of thing where you need to disappear while all that's happening, or can you hang around a bit?
It's much more risky. So, you know, we stay, we're in the castle, we let them in each morning and shut them out each night, and we are very much on set and working. It's a big enterprise. It's, you know, 120 people in the crew and then the cast. And some of the days, each series, they had a big set piece. Maybe it was the cricket match, which is filmed at the cricket pitch here, or the fete on the lawns and whatever else. So those days would be quite intense and take much longer to film. We were very much present, and either I or John Gunton, our castle manager, were here each day, every day. So they were filming here. So we are here a lot. You know, my goodness, it's rather an amazing place. And even if I do the same walks, I enjoy the same walks and looking at the trees and imagining what stories they could tell 100 years ago or 200 years ago.
Yes.
So I am here a lot. I think it's nice as well with visitors. You bump into them and see them. Hopefully it's fun.
Yes. And how often are you open to the public?
Every month, most weeks. I mean, we're closed this week because we are setting for Christmas, which is a mammoth operation. We do it all in-house. So it's we all become Christmas elves. And, you know, I think there's about 60 Christmas trees to decorate. And then the big one goes up at the very end. There's about 2.5 kilometres of garland. So it is Operation Christmas Tree. And then I give us 2 days next week to go wrong. And we open on Wednesday. I think it's the 19th of November. And we're more or less open every day until the 19th of December, when we all close and everyone goes home for their own Christmas.
Yes. And what is it like sharing your home with members of the public? You know, most people would never experience anything like that. And when asked that question, would think, oh, I'd hate it if I had members of the public coming into my home on a daily basis. But you obviously really enjoy it, which is lovely.
Well, I think if I didn't enjoy it, I'd be in the wrong job and have married the wrong man. So I think you have to look positively at it. And without a doubt, I'm a cup half full, I hope, because I just prefer that way of living. And you know, I think it's a good deal. I think it's interesting for people to come and see someone's home. I think, you know, it's the photographs and the flowers and the small touches. You know, whenever I go to someone else's, I'm like, oh, that was a good idea. Oh, I like that cake. You know, you pick up all these things, which are fun. So, as well as the paintings. So I think people peer more at the photographs quite often of a tiny puppy on my son's knee when he was a child, rather than Van Dyck, probably. So it is those, how you make a castle a home. It's got 250 or 300 rooms. So it was, and yet I hope areas of it at least that are quite cosy.
Yeah.
So I do embrace it. I think it's wrong not to, and it's not honest with everybody if I don't actually genuinely want to welcome them. So I do want to.
Nice. And obviously it's a very popular, enjoyable thing to do for people to visit stately homes across the UK. But I'm assuming since Downton, there's been a lot more interest with fans of the show coming specifically to take photos of areas where their favourite scenes have been. Have you obviously noticed that, I assume?
No, definitely. And we do tours which are geared towards them. The fifth Earl of Carnarvon discovered the tomb of Tutankhamun. So the tours in February are geared more towards Tutankhamun and Downton Abbey, because that was when they broke through into the shrine room and found the golden sarcophagus. So we do bring up other elements of history. Sometimes we focus a bit more on the gardens, but Downton was filmed in the gardens. So it depends, you know, where we do it. And where some people will come here and haven't seen Downton Abbey, so it's making sure you cater for different people. And the guides are brilliant at, you know, whether someone wants to come and think about, you know, somebody who actually visited from real life and a real life story, or whether they're really focused on what was filmed where. But having said that, we still can only have the same number of people through the front door before or after Downton Abbey. So we can't have any more people, because you break the house and you break the team. So that's why I started writing books. I thought, oh my goodness, what can I do for Highclere? Because we don't benefit financially from the success of Downton. So I thought I needed to figure out what would be a strategy. So everybody does different things. So I started writing books. And I hope, you know, the last one has quite a neutral title, A Year at Highclere. But there's, I hope, a lot in there of secrets and stories and tips and behind the scenes. And, you know, we were even fortunate enough to have the late Queen Elizabeth II to stay for real. So I thought it's fun to share stories like that and some behind the scenes photos of the late Queen sitting on the red sofas, as well as Maggie Smith. Not at the same time. But yes.
Oh, it's lovely. And you mentioned earlier about ghosts, that people often ask you about ghosts in the castle. You mentioned that in the book. Can you tell us any stories?
Well, I mean, there are so many stories to tell. So I selected a good selection of mine and other people who've seen the ghosts, and decided I'd go inside and outside, and old and new. I mean, the ghosts tend to be old, but there's old and new stories. I haven't, there are some places where there's more unsettled other spirits than others, put it like that. So, you know, there's definitely there's not a very nice ghost around the back, but he was banished by the fourth Earl in Victorian times to the Red Sea. He had to have the help of six bishops, but they got rid of him there. My only concern is they banished him there for 150 years. So I reckon that time's about up. So I do hope it was a nominal 150 years, which really meant forever.
Yes.
So.
That would be good. Well, if people want to get a copy of A Year at Highclere, Secrets and Stories from the Real Downton Abbey, it's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Lady Fiona, the 8th Countess of Carnarvon, who we've been chatting with today. Lady Fiona, thank you so much for joining us. Lovely to chat with you.
You are so kind for asking me. Thank you.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.